fade up. Hello, friends. It's time for another episode of the soon-to-be award-winning Kings of Anglia podcast, brought to you in association with IO Radio here from the secret bunker in Ipswich. It's Monday morning. It's pissing it down. Hutch is barely awake. Ross has been fiddling with his knobs. But everything seems to be working. My name is Mark Heath, as ever. I am your host. And this week I've only got one special friend with me. He's sitting across the table with his hood up. He's wearing an NBA starter jacket, I believe is the term.
Yeah, shooting jacket.
Shooting jacket, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
You look buzzing for this,
I think. Yeah, I'm up for it.
It's a man we like to call Hutch Hogan. Ross, hit that intro music.
Welcome to the jungle. We got funky.
Is this pepping you up?
I'm pepped. There's a pep in my step.
You don't look pepped.
I am.
We met outside the studio and Hutchie boldly proclaimed in the pissing rain, "This is my jam."
It is.
You like the cold weather.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, this is me.
Yeah.
A little bit of me in the
summer seems to have gone, which is a bit of a shame. That was proper radio, that. And across the way from me, having now plugged various things in and out of sockets for the last 5 minutes, manning the wheels of steel is a man we like to call Producer Ross. That wasn't enough of that.
Oh, sorry.
Go on, it's one of the greatest intros of all time.
To be fair, that's why, isn't it?
Exactly.
Greatest producer of all time?
All right, let's reel that in for a little bit.
Yeah, this is your fourth show with us, I think, is it?
Yeah.
And you're already proclaiming yourself the greatest producer of all time. I like it.
We had to record the intro three times last week.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot to press record, said Ross a couple of times.
I'm lucky, you know.
Wow, yeah. Got to get it right, haven't you? There is, of course, a missing wheel. We're a three-wheel car this week. The third wheel, and probably the most important wheel, the Doctor. Dr. Watson is off making house calls. But we've paid for his music, so let's hear it anyway. I miss you, Stu.
Why haven't you got any music?
I don't need music. You're the stars. I'm merely the host with the most.
The producer's got some music.
I know, but that's good music. Right, so it's just me, Hutch Hogan, and Producer Ross this week. It's pissing it down. It's very early on a Monday morning. And I've got to be honest, I've got really no idea what we're going to talk about. Hutchie, any thoughts?
Do some football and that. Do you want me to take my hood down? Is this intimidating?
No, I quite like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I quite like it. It looks like you're about to go out and do some business, do some bits.
Yeah.
Football and that. Well, first of all, what have you been up to recently? Don't say nothing. Come on.
Not an awful lot, really, mate.
Since last week, what have you been doing? How's young Jessica? How is being a father? Has she caused any issues for you this week?
No. She's a good girl.
Good. Ross, you've been off for a week.
Yes.
What have you been up to? Don't say nothing. Come on, what have you been up to?
Just chilled, really, with my girlfriend. I had to sort out the house.
Did you go a whole week without proposing?
Yes.
Success.
Ross is in the very early stages of young love, which means he proposes at least once a week at the moment.
She proposes to me as well.
Does she?
Sometimes.
Just constant proposals.
Back and forth proposals.
And nobody has said yes.
Yeah.
No, there's no ring at present, so...
Not yet. And also, I think you were doing some work with the Ipswich Town Ladies, weren't you, last week?
Yes, I think we can probably announce it on this pod, because this will probably go out. They're going to sign a new player today.
Who that?
Monday. Blue Wilson. Her name's Blue.
Blue? Yeah. Like Beyonce and Jay-Z's kid?
Yeah, Blue.
Blue Wilson.
Blue is a blue.
And what position is she?
She's a midfielder. Centre midfield.
Is she the one from Man City?
Man City, yeah.
Wow.
She's one of the young players. She's only 17, but she's, you know, trained with Nikita Paris, Steph Horton, Jill Scott, all those at Man City. So she just wanted to come and join us. And there's a big project going on with Joe Sheehan in managing, you know, Ipswich Town. So
awesome. Yeah. Blue Wilson, look out for her.
Blue.
Have we been watching any of the Women's World Cup, boys?
No, I haven't.
This is bad for me because I'm a big fan of women's football, but I didn't watch it yesterday. Because I had other things on, so...
The Lionesses has won, didn't they?
Yeah, won, which is good.
2-1 Scotland.
Beat Scotland.
Aren't Scotland cack, though?
I couldn't possibly
tell
you.
I think last time they played, England won 6-0, didn't they? I think that's right.
Yeah.
So it was only 2-1 yesterday.
They scored.
There was a disappointing amount of fans in the stadium as well, or lack of fans.
Really?
Yeah, there's like...
Oh.
It's a 35,000-seat stadium. It looked pretty much empty, which is a shame. How about obviously the big game of the weekend was the third-place playoff in the Nations League, wasn't it, boys? What's that?
No.
Buzzing. Has there ever been anything more pointless than a third place playoff in a made up tournament against
Switzerland?
Just makes
it even more pointless.
Which went to penners. Like, I haven't watched any of it. Did the England players actually celebrate when we won the shootout?
Pickford.
Yeah, that's the only bit I've seen is Jordan Pickford scoring a penalty.
It was a great penner, but yeah. Did anyone celebrate? Like, what's the point?
No.
He celebrated, yeah. But he is a goalkeeper who's just scored a penalty. But yeah, it's very silly.
What a waste of time. I saw Sky News tweeted after we lost to Holland that England just missed out on reaching their first major final since 1966. What? Is this what it's come to?
Discounting Le Tournoi,
exactly,
as well,
which we won.
Which is a joke. I want to know where that trophy is, that little plastic football on a plinth. Who's got that?
I'd have thought it's probably at Wembley somewhere.
Hope so.
Front and centre.
It should be here.
Next to the World Cup.
Next to the World Cup.
Absolutely. The Jules Rimet trophy. It's Stewie. Oh dear.
Start again.
Yeah, let's go back to the start. Hutchie, let's talk about Ipswich Town, because there's stuff going on. When are Ipswich Town going to hashtag announce Norwood?
I don't know.
Is it going to be this week?
It should be.
Should be this week.
Look, people are getting quite jumpy. Nothing's changed. He's agreed to join Ipswich Town, yeah. And it's just a matter of time, as far as I'm aware, which is how it was about 3 weeks ago.
So. We understand. 3-year deal, is it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Significant jump in pay.
I bet it is, yeah. How much of a significant jump?
Treble, at least.
Oof.
It is, depending on whether you want to use the figure that he used to be on,
yeah.
Or what Tranmere offered him to stay.
What are we talking then? Can we talk bunts? Can we talk numbers? Or are we just using multipliers?
Let's use multipliers.
Okay.
For now.
But it's a decent wedge.
I'd take it.
You'd be happy for
yes,
that?
Yes, I would take it. It's a bit of a pay rise to what you earn, I think.
But is it?
For me, it would be, yeah.
I'm a massive deal now.
I know.
I earn huge money.
I know. I'd accept it.
Yeah.
And guaranteed for 3 years as well.
Pretty good.
I'd take that.
How old is Norwood?
28.
I know he looks about 45, but he's 28.
Yeah.
So 3-year deal. In the prime of his career, going to bang in at least 20 goals next season for Town.
Interesting that it's the prime of his career, because he's yet to play at this level, and we're talking about him signing a player in their prime,
yeah.
Which is an interesting debate, but
yeah,
we will see
when he signs this week. You heard it here first for loads of cash.
He did. I saw some quotes the other day when he won the League Two Player of the Year award that he would judge himself against 20 goals a season, whatever division he played in.
Wow.
So.
I like that talk, though.
That's
like,
a benchmark.
Like
says.
Ross proclaiming himself the best producer on the planet, James Norwood has also started off on the right foot for me. So he's looking for 20 goals, and that's the minimum.
That's his benchmark.
That's the benchmark for the start of the season. What else is going on, Hutchie, transfer-wise? I saw there was a little rumour yesterday, but it was very much a Ipswich Town transfer rumour as opposed to anything concrete.
I'll be honest, I don't know much about him.
Yeah.
I've obviously done some research since that one came out in the Sun. Harry Brockbank,
yeah.
A 20-year-old from Bolton who's played 4 games of professional football.
Sounds exciting.
Very versatile, right back, centre back, centre midfield. It's hard to see where he would really kind of fit into what Ipswich are trying to do.
Yeah.
You'd think if he was to be primarily he's a centre back, I think, and if you were to do that, that's pretty much a blockade for Luke Wolfenden. Corey and Darba at 20. Like Wolfenden went out and played 30 odd games last year for Swindon in League Two, and Brockbank's played 4 in his in his life. He's 20 as well, so you'd want to play a bit more by then. I'm not sure about where that one is, to be honest.
Is there anything else? Obviously, Norwood on his way. They've signed the holy goalie, 6'9". You have to say that every time you mention him, 6'9". And they've signed the lad, Adam
Shibek.
Who's
Shibek?
Hearing Hutchie say Shibek is one of the highlights of my week.
It's not just Shibek, though. You have to, if you make your lips as if you're about to say a P, but don't say it, and then just say Shibek.
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 Shibek. Ross?
Shibek.
You didn't do the P. Shibek.
Shibek. No, I'm bad at pronouncing things.
Chelton.
Chelton.
Just leaving it there.
It's amusing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, young keeper signed. He's not going to challenge the first team for a while, though, is he?
No, he's a 23. He wants to break into the senior picture, but I think by that he means train.
Shibek. Shibek.
Shebeck.
So is there anything else concrete with your ear to the ground that might, may or...
No.
No, nothing at all.
Nope.
So who else do they need then? Obviously, if they get Norwood, they've got a striker, they've got a keeper. Mm-hmm. Bart, obviously, is the big question now, isn't it, in terms of what happens with him?
Yeah.
I saw he was linked with Millwall last week.
Yeah, that wasn't one that I'd heard. That one of the clubs.
That'd be an odd move.
Yeah. There's been no offers for him so far. Lots of interest, but nothing concrete as such. But yeah, if he was to move on, and I think there's a keenness, an openness on both sides for that to happen, they'd bring in somebody, a senior goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But until that happens, they certainly won't be signing another goalkeeper. They just can't afford to take that gamble.
So who else are we saying then? If they get Norwood this week, another striker, some kind of...
I think so. Yeah. I think Stu and I, we differ on this one a little bit. I'd like another striker to come in. I think you just need goals in this Ipswich team. That was the big problem. Mm. They couldn't score goals, and you can't just flog Norwood every single week. So I would look to bring in somebody else. I like Harrison and I like Jackson as well. I struggle to see that Lambert would want to use Jackson as a central solo striker, because it just isn't his. It's not fair on him. It's not his position. And then if you didn't then bring in another striker, that's just Harrison and Norwood. I'd want three.
Mm. In the piece that I wrote for Print and Online today, I described it as a rank inability to put the ball in the net.
It's fair, isn't it?
It's pretty much what
Ipswich scored four more goals than James Norwood last season.
Yes. Leading marksman in English football, James Norwood.
On his alongside Surge.
Yeah, big Surge. The other thing we should talk about briefly before we move on, and it's going to be a lot of mailbag today because obviously we're missing a wheel and there's not a great deal in terms of new news to talk about. But one thing we should definitely talk about is the Germany tour.
Yep.
You boys, the lads, are going on tour. Hutch Hogan, Dr. Watson, and producer Ross are going to smash Germany to bits and cover some games as well. So that they've announced that. Brings up to speed with that then, Hutchie. So we already knew they were playing on the first weekend of July.
Saturday, July the 6th. Paderborn in the town of Steinhagen.
Steinhagen,
at the Kronbach Stadion, which is a 5,000-seater leisure centre.
Wow.
With a running track
around it. Yeah.
Just on the outskirts of Bielefeld. It's not in Paderborn. There seems to be a bit of a German trend that they don't play in their own stadiums in pre-season. It's just not deemed worthy.
Yeah.
So, essentially, Ipswich will be playing at Northgate Sports Centre in that one. Looking forward to trying to find somewhere to plug a laptop in.
Wi-Fi
there.
Wi-Fi might be an issue.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll always get by.
Use your hotspot.
Take an extension lead. Ross, you need to make sure you pack properly.
Yes.
I'm very much worried about Ross on these tours.
I want to get lost.
Ross is going to forget his passport. Then he's going to realise he's brought the wrong camera. And then he's going to get lost in Germany. And it's going to be... It'll be like some kind of... bad carry-on film, I reckon. It's a good job you boys are already dads, because I think you're going to be doing a lot of dadding.
I'm in charge of his passport, and for that matter, I'm probably going to be in charge of Stu's passport as well, because he is prone.
Stu's very forgetful, isn't he? Losing things.
Stuart Watson, one of the most thorough people I've ever met, but very much prone to doing something really silly.
Always forgetting things.
Yeah.
Forget his laptop,
losing stuff.
He?
Yeah, well, he's done that already at work. Turned up without his computer.
I'm checking your bag the night before. I want to see a picture. You send me pictures of your bag.
Vlog. Yeah. First day. Yeah.
And know what's in there, everything.
What time are we going?
Early.
Oh, no.
It's very early.
Oh, no.
8 a.m. flight.
So we've got to get there. Early doors, though, to get to check in and all that.
Yep, that's how it works.
Get to check in and all that. You'll be flying from Stansted, I assume.
We will be flying from Stansted.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Excellent. So,
Gatwick.
How are you going to get to Stansted, Ross?
We haven't talked about that, have we, yet?
How are you going to get to Stansted?
I'll get a lift from somebody.
Okay, good.
By somebody, he means you.
Yeah, he does mean either me or Stuart.
Yeah. And then the following weekend, they're in a four-team tournament called the Interwetten Tournament.
Interwetten Cup.
Interwetten Cup, sorry.
Yeah, which is means interbet. You cannot escape gambling sponsorships, even in pre-season.
Yeah.
Always so the gambling.
An early chance there for Town to pick up some silverware.
Yep. First major final.
Absolutely. since 1981. Or 2000, I guess. Is that I don't know. Be a major final?
Well, I don't know if you can count
a playoff final. That's got to be a major final, surely.
It's very major in the history of Ipswich Town. I don't know. Is it a major final?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question.
I suppose if we're going to put the Interveten Cup as a major final, I think we probably should.
Hold on. It depends if Town win it.
Yeah, that's true.
If they win it, it's their major final.
Yeah.
And they're going to be playing Fortuna Dusseldorf.
Yeah, Fortuna.
Fortuna.
Yep. Good friends from Fortuna. And then FC Utrecht, who finished in the Europa League places in Holland last year. And then the hosts, SV Meppen.
And this is 45-minute games.
Yep. With pens.
With pens, if needed. Yeah. And this is where?
Meppen.
Meppen.
Which is in rural northwest Germany. Yeah. Two hours from any airport.
Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere, isn't it? So, you're flying out from Stansted.
Yep.
And you alluded to there the difficulties of location. Stop rubbing your chin on the mic.
This is quite nice friction.
And you're going to be staying what? Where are you staying?
Just got a couple of little flats.
Nice. Yeah. You're basically staying on a farm, aren't you?
For the second one, yeah, we're staying on a farm.
As I understand it. And Ross, am I right in thinking it's your birthday?
Yeah, it's going to be my birthday when we travel.
Where would you rather be spending it than in Germany with the Doctor and Hutch Hogan?
Yes.
Not with your lovely lady. To be fair, it's probably, it's probably a good job that you're not with her on the birthday, because otherwise it'd definitely be a proposal.
From her?
After a few scoops, yeah. Mm. Ross, how old are you going to be?
I'm 23.
23 years old. Oh, to be 23 again.
My face just dropped when I said that.
23. Yeah. What is your illness of the week, Ross? We haven't caught up with this. How are you feeling? You've had a week off, so I'd imagine you've come back with some kind of lurgy.
Fine.
You're right.
Yeah,
you've got no ailments. You haven't got a sniffle, you haven't got a cough, you're not hungry.
I'm a little bit hungry.
You must be quite tired.
A little bit tired, yeah.
Tired, lethargy. Yeah. Anything else we can say about this trip? It's going to be a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be.
The two trips.
It should be. Yeah, we're doing it in two. Rather than staying out there for the whole time, we're doing it in two, which is probably a good thing. The squad are out there for 11 days from the 4th to the 15th of July, but the game's either weekend. So hopefully, it sounds like there's going to be a good smattering of Ipswich followers, which would make it, especially the tournament, I think there could be quite a good atmosphere there with four teams and the fans all mixing and enjoying themselves. I think that's what this tournament's all about. They do it every year over there. And it's all about just getting people enjoying themselves, very fan-friendly.
Mm.
Should be good.
Sounds good. It's certainly a lot better than going to Braintree away or something.
East Grinstead Town.
Exactly.
About last year.
Exactly. Proper pre-season.
Yeah.
Befitting of future League One champions.
Exactly. They've sold Meppen of kind of... When they did their grand launch, it was like, yeah, here come Bundesliga team, Fortuna Dusseldorf... Europa League qualifiers FC Utrecht and Paul Lambert's Ipswich Town.
By the way, I saw Lambo was pulled on the old jersey over the weekend.
He did,
didn't
he? It was brilliant. I
haven't seen it. He got booked, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I actually watched this on Saturday morning while doing other things. It was
little insight into how Hutch Hogan lives there.
It was really entertaining.
Yeah. So he was playing for Borussia Dortmund against...
For Dortmund Legends against Liverpool Legends in Hong Kong.
Right.
Pick up Paul Lambert. He was wearing his... I assume these were his boots from his playing days. So I think they were a pair of Puma Kings.
Yeah.
Everybody else were wearing like colourful, bright, colourful things. He just had an old pair of black boots on.
To be fair, that is Lambert all over, isn't it? Proper. Yeah. And how did he do? He got booked, didn't he, you were saying?
That was... Yeah. One big tackle flew in early on. But yeah, very, very cynical yellow card in the second half for grabbing Dirk Kuyt around the collar while he was trying to break, which fits with Ipswich's tactical approach to football, because when we were one of our little sit downs in Mr. Lambert's office, what are you doing?
I just realised my headphones are trapped and I can't actually move from this position. As soon as I start to move, they come off my ears. Producer Ross is stepping in. There we go.
Free the Heath.
Yes, I can move my head. It's amazing.
Success. that kind of tactical, sensible fouling is part of Lambert's footballing philosophy, I think.
How did he look, the boy Lambert? Is he still in? Is he still in decent shape?
He is in decent shape. He will not be happy if he's watched this back. The commentary team referred to him as Big Paul Lambert throughout the whole thing, which was really, really unfair. He's one of the oldest players in the team. There were two or three of his Champions League winning contemporaries in the side, but yeah, he was one of the older older players in there, and he's in decent nick. I think big Paul Lambert is a bit unfair. He also took on some management duties as well. He was calling the shots from the bench whenever he was off, making substitutions.
Old habits and all that. Body shaming, unbelievable, gets everywhere, doesn't it?
We should talk about Alan Judge as well.
Oh, how could I forget this? So Alan Judge plays for Ireland on, was it Friday night?
Friday night.
Plays very well.
Very well.
And then breaks his wrist.
Yep.
Just like Luke Chambers and yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It's joined the club.
Yeah, so, and he's having surgery, isn't he, today?
Yeah, yeah.
So how long do you reckon he's going to be out for? Obviously, Chambo played with a broken wrist last season. But...
Yeah, well, Alan Judge doesn't have a game for the best part of a month, does he? Pre-season's all about fitness. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't keep him out at all.
He can still run, can't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Just keep his fitness
up. Yeah, he won't be bench pressing anything, but he...
I can't imagine bench pressing is a big part of Alan Judge's routine.
I don't know. But, it's very painful. It's a really horrible thing.
How did he do it? I haven't actually seen it.
It was literally on the full-time whistle. He'd come on and he was really good in the 20-odd minutes that he played. He was their spark. He was all over the pitch creating things. He won a free kick, which he then delivered pinpoint for Shane Duffy to equalise. And then literally the final action of the game, he was just in a bit of a tough collision and just like clattered to the floor.
Mm.
And the full-time whistle blew while he was getting treatment.
Our old friend Mick had some words after the game, didn't he? In which he was very, enthusiastic about Mr. Judge.
Yep, he's been impressed.
Yeah.
Back to his best, he says.
I still think it's an incredible signing, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah.
For Judge to be in League One with Town next season, he's going
to
be...
He should be. They just need to nail down where he's going to play.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then, yeah.
Superb. Any other Ipswich Town stuff before we move
any
on?
Any other Ipswich Town stuff?
It's hard to... Because every day blends into one, doesn't it?
Yes.
Especially for you boys.
Ipswich Town... No. Did you go?
No.
Rod Stewart caused traffic chaos.
I'm not sure it was Rod Stewart. I think it was the thing at Cop Dot.
Well, I blame Rod.
Yeah, that was a nightmare on Friday.
Yeah,
night.
The whole... Our newsroom went into absolute meltdown.
It literally did. If only you could see how excited our news team get about any kind of issue on the roads, or snow, or wind, you'd shake your head. Yeah, I think...
Just get over it.
Exactly. Yeah, there were all sorts of worries about how people were going to get home, and at one point there were people thinking about camping in the office and all sorts. It was...
ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yeah. Who says that journalists are over-the-top sensationalists?
I couldn't hear any of... I can normally, whenever there's anything going on at Portman Road, even testing the security alarm, I can hear that at my house.
Yeah.
Didn't hear a peep out of Rod on Friday night.
Yeah, the boy Rod. Are you a fan of Rod Stewart?
I'm not against Rod Stewart.
Anti-Rod.
I don't think I could tell you, sing you any of his music.
Do you think I'm sexy?
Yes, but...
Ross?
Oh, is that one of Rod's?
No, it was a question.
Okay.
Just wanted to answer it.
Just out of context.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Do you think I'm sexy? Handbags and bag rags? That's the office theme, tune.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
isn't
right.
it? That's Rod Stewart.
Yeah. I don't know.
We Are Sailing. Cross the...
Yeah, I know that song. I know all of these songs. I just couldn't have told you.
That's Big Rod.
We are sailing.
What do you reckon the average age
we
of the demographic?
We are sailing.
Oh, he's gone.
Home again. Cross the sea.
If anyone wants to sign Andy Warren, I am his agent. He's just taking a sip of water to protect his beautiful voice. Good Lord, you're squeezing that bottle like Mick McCarthy back in the day. I'll just ask you that.
That's probably a greater skill than picking up things with my toes, actually.
What's that? Squeezing water?
Drinking a pint of water. I've shown you this before, haven't I? I can drink a pint of water in about 4 seconds.
Can you drink a pint of anything in 4 seconds?
I used to
be. Are you one of
these
people who can kind of open their gullet and just tip it down?
Yeah.
Freak of nature.
Yeah.
Another thing we've learned about Hutchie's body, he can... He can no, I'm not going to say it. He
body
can,
talk.
Yeah. He can do stuff with his throat. Excellent. Other than Ipswich Town and Rod Stewart, anything else to discuss? Because there's loads of mailbag, and I want to get Mark's big question in. Actually, have you got anything to say? Have you got any confessions, given the Tory leadership is all competing about who's done the most? I'd like to say that I did quite a lot of cowpole when I was a child.
I had some cowpole last night.
You were a cowpole as well?
I had some last night.
Unbelievable. I think this probably rules you out of the Kings of Anger leadership elections.
Out of a syringe.
Straight into your eyeballs. Cowpole is basically what you use to sedate children now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, just put them to sleep. Nice big portion. Yes. Should we do a Mark's Big Question?
So Michael Gove's done a bit of coke. Is that what he's done, or has he smoked?
No, he's come out. I've got to be careful what I say here. He's come out and said that he did cocaine when he was a journalist, because obviously that's what all journalists do.
Yeah, and standard.
Then that prompted a deluge of everyone else saying, "I once did.
I did it too.
I did it too. I'm normal too." And the range of them as well has been ridiculous. Someone saying they did opium at at an Iranian wedding, and someone else saying they drank a cannabis milkshake. A cannabis milkshake?
Is this an attempt by the Conservative Party to appeal to the masses?
I think so. It's
only for Conservative Party members to vote for.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Well, because I guess they want to be seen by the whole electorate as relatable.
Yeah.
Because obviously they are all very relatable.
Yeah, that's what we
just
want.
Just like you and me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's the great Tory drugs off of 2019. you want to admit to have done enough drugs to make yourself kind of relatable without doing too many, or indeed the wrong sort of drug.
Yeah.
Which would rule you out. So
time frame very important as well, isn't it? They're all very much when I was a student.
Which is when everyone does it, of course. Yeah. Relatable. But Boris has yet to come forward. I want to see what Boris is going to say.
Yeah.
He chugged a...
We shall see.
Yeah. I'm not going to say libel and all that. Shall we do a Mark's Big Question?
Yeah.
Shall we?
As long as it's not...
It's drug related.
Mark's Big Question.
I miss Stu doing the whispery bits. He's very good at that.
He just likes whispering, doesn't he?
You say shibek in a whisper.
Shibek.
Last week, our friend Ross picked number 32. so that's gone. Hutchie, pick a number.
Number 10.
Number 10. Have we done number 10? Oh, we haven't. Number 10 is favourite cartoon.
Pinky and the Brain.
That's an excellent shout. Ross, do you even know what Pinky in the Brain is?
I do.
What is it?
It's a clone.
Yeah.
Excellent. thank you, Ross.
I'm not sure it's still... You can't even watch it anymore, can you, Pinky in the Brain?
It's still on? YouTube only.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think...
It's a 90s. 90s clone, yeah.
Mid-90s, I say.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Two mice trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
Pinky and... I'm not going to sing. I don't need to sing everything that we do.
Ross, what's your favourite cartoon?
I like Rugrats. It's not really a cartoon, no, really.
That is a cartoon.
It's very much a cartoon.
It's a child cartoon.
It is literally a cartoon.
It's a child's cartoon.
What do you like about Rugrats, Ross?
Just my childhood.
Oh, it reminds you of your childhood.
And the theme tune as well.
What is the theme tune?
Cartoon.
I can't really sing it. I can't think of it right now.
Pinky and the Brain was released in 1995.
And it started, it was the, what are we going to do tonight?
The brain. Same thing we do every night.
Every night, Pinky.
Try to take over the world.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I also like Recess.
Recess. Oh, what's Recess? That's a great show.
It's like, it's an American cartoon set in an elementary school.
Elementary?
90s as well.
I'm not familiar with that. My favourite would probably be South Park.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You can't whack at South Park, have you?
Yeah.
You can't respect my authority and all that. And that classic one where, is it Magic Johnson's in it?
Is he?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure he's actually in it.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one where they realise that the cure for...
Is it about AIDS?
Yeah, is having lots of money. It's very good. I love South Park. Anyway, that was a very brief Mark's Big Question this week.
That was brief. We can talk more cartoons if you want.
What other cartoons do you watch?
We don't have...
DuckTales.
Yeah, that's a good one.
DuckTales. Back in the day.
Yeah, DuckTales is good. He-Man.
He-Man was good,
which I quite like.
Yeah, and what's the one with Thundercats?
Yeah, Thundercats is good.
With Dexter Laboratory? No.
What?
This is what you get when there's an age difference. Not a big age difference, obviously, because we're very young and vibrant still, Hutchie.
Powerpuff Girls.
What? Are you just coming up with random words now?
No. Powerpuff Girls.
The Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm not aware of this.
I think there's six of them, and they are just, yeah, little girls.
Do you mean, I think there's six of them? You know full well.
Did you want to be a Powerpuff Girl?
I did.
And you got your wish. Amazing. Yeah. yeah. I always thought at the start of DuckTales, you know, Scrooge McDuck dives face first into piles of coins.
Mm.
That wouldn't work, would it?
No, it'd hurt. You just wouldn't.
You'd be horribly disfigured if you did that in real life.
The raccoons as well.
Ah, yeah.
Great theme tune to that. Run with us.
I can't remember it.
I'll play it to you later.
Okay, we'll do that. There's a lot of mailbag questions this week, so I suggest we move on seamlessly from Mark's big question to your big questions.
Your little questions.
You're the listeners. So there's lots of them. Hutchie, I hope you are ready to talk quite a lot, because obviously...
Do we need to do the theme tune?
Someone needs to do the theme tune.
I think Ross should do it.
He doesn't know the words.
He does.
Go on then.
Well, don't I know.
Go on, do it.
There'll be a review on this podcast, and they'll go, Ross should never do the mailbag.
Well, it needs to be at least attempted and then ticked off.
Yeah, come on, I'll do it with you.
Ready?
Do you know the words?
It's mailbag.
Mailbag. Yeah, but we're obviously going to have to freestyle the...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You ready? I'm going to get my mic set properly.
He's got to get the levels right. Clear your throat. Ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Mailbag.
Andy and no one else goes dipping in the mailbag.
Doot.
Yes. And that, we'll put that out to review to our official music critique.
Alistair Rattray. Let us know what you thought about that. Again. It was magic, obviously. Bloody hell, we have got a lot of questions.
Although I did leave the last bit to you, really.
You nailed it, I'm happy.
It worked, it worked as a twosome. Matt Wooden says, lots of teams in the big club's features lost talented youngsters while in League One, but there's been no rumours out of Ipswich. Something to worry about.
Is this referring to Stu's League One Life series?
I believe so. Life in League One with Stuart Watson.
Yeah.
No rumours out of Ipswich. What does he mean there?
Just I think he probably means that there's no kind of transfer links to people like Downs, Dizelle, Lancaster being linked with moves away.
Why would we worry about that, though? That's a good thing, isn't it?
I think... Is it just...
he means something... Is it something we should be worrying about? That they're going to go... Okay.
Yeah. I think Ipswich are in a different situation in that if you're talking about like young players poached from League One, they weren't necessarily part of their club's relegation, if that makes sense. I'm not sure that any clubs would necessarily, and this is a good thing for Ipswich, I'm not sure clubs would necessarily be falling over themselves to pay the money to take the young players from Ipswich, which is a good thing. And Ipswich have made it so clear that they are at the centre of what they're trying to do. So I think all of their off-season moves are centred around protecting those players.
Nigel Gooding. This is a good one for you, Ross, because you watch a lot of the under-23s and indeed a close personal friend with lots of them. Which youngster that has not yet played for the first team are you most excited about seeing play in the first team within the next 5 years?
I think me and Hutchie can double team because he's normally my chauffeur to the under-23 games.
That's all I am.
And a good friend too.
So Hutchie, you watched a lot of under-23s. Who would you say you're most excited about seeing in the first team?
Shibek.
You've not even seen him play, the lad.
No.
Obviously we've seen Big Driss and
yeah,
we've spoken before about Ndaba. Is there anyone else?
So we're going down to maybe sort of 18-17s. Yeah. I quite like the look of Tyrese Simpson.
Mm.
Striker, is he?
He's a striker.
Big lad.
Former rugby player, isn't he? X-Man City?
That's it, yeah.
He's built. He's really built. I've just realised I've still got my hood up. This is ridiculous, isn't it?
No, I like it.
He's well built for a young lad. He looks like he could handle himself physically. I think he's got a lot to learn in his... sort of on-field play, his like movement and things like that. His touch is okay as well. I like the look of him. He could be one a few years down the line, maybe.
You know, Dobro's recently signed a pro deal. Yeah. I think he could be up there. I think he made a grow a little bit more.
Mm. He's got he's got some growing to do, hasn't he? He's quite slight.
Yeah. Who, Dobra?
Yeah.
So you're saying Dobra?
Yeah, Dobra definitely. Yeah.
What's he, so? What position is he in? People don't know.
Winger, but you could probably say centre mid as well.
Yeah. He strikes me as a perfect mix between Teddy Bishop and Andre Dizel.
Mm.
In that he's good on the ball, isn't he?
Obviously, good striker as well.
Yeah, he's not at the level of those two players, obviously. No. Not saying that, but he's good on the ball like Andre, and he's got a bit of drive in his legs like Teddy has.
Yeah, that's really it, really. There's no one else who really stands out like, oh, they could become, you know, 13 quality next year, but we'll wait and see, really.
There's some decent players in there, but it's very early for a lot of them, the ones that we've never talked about, anyway.
Yeah.
Another one I do quite like. Don't ever get too excited about fullbacks, but I do like the look of Bailey Clements, who is he signed a pro deal last year as well. He's a young left-back. If you watch him play, you'll instantly think of Cole Skews, just in the way that he moves. He's quite straight in his running style, very calm, doesn't get flustered easily. He's a good defender, first and foremost, and can get forward. Again, he's got some bulking up to do and a lot to learn, but I think there's something there with him. And Brett McGavin as well, another one who you look at and think of Cole Skews. Very responsible on the ball, moves it around, unseen work, really.
Brett McGavin sounds like an old school football name, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Brett McGavin.
Definitely should wear black boots.
Like Harry Maguire. And
Ginger Hoskins.
Charles on the wing. Tony Southgate, as an overweight man with the body of a darts player, beat a bodybuilding Adonis, does that mean boxing is no longer a sport? We had this last week, Tony. You obviously didn't listen. Boxing is very much a sport. Just because Ruiz beat Joshua doesn't mean that suddenly boxing is no longer a sport.
Can we just knock this one on the head, please?
You want to knock Tony Southgate on the head?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I meant this subject matter, but Tony, bang.
Go and knock him spark out when you get back to the office. Nigel Gooding wants to know, part one, if you could be a superhero, which one would you be and why? And part two, now you are a superhero, if you had to face off against each other, who would win? Now, see, my favourite superhero is Batman. But he famously has no superpowers.
Yeah, me too. He's just hard.
He's just double hard.
He's got loads of cash.
And in a hard suit. But obviously, if he faced off against Superman, he'd get murdered, the lad, because he's got no superpowers. But Superman will literally rip your head off. So, Ross, who's your favourite superhero?
Spider-Man.
Excellent.
Very enthusiastic.
For the benefit of people who aren't actually in the room with us, that was him doing the webs out of his wrists, which he actually mimed. So, if we're both Batman...
I think Spider-Man is the one that Batman could take. He'd just need to get hold of him and then squeeze him.
Yeah, give him a bit of a beat. Mm. Yeah.
Batman would struggle a bit against anyone that can fly.
Very much so.
Spider-Man obviously can't fly, but has got... abilities.
Troy Farth says, I'm guessing Norwood's nearly done then. As we already said, we hope it's going to be this week. Gareth Wesley, do you think Danny Rowe will get a fair crack of the whip this season, or do you see Paul Lambert looking for a new winger? Danny Rowe, someone who we've not really seen a lot of, went out on loan at Lincoln and got them promoted. Actually got promoted and relegated on the same day, didn't he?
With
Lincoln and with Town. Danny Rowe, do you think, like, Lambert has already, we understand that Danasian, as Ross would say, is going to get a chance to win the right-back spot. Is Danny Rowe going to get a chance, do you think?
They've made all the right noises about the lone players coming back and having a chance to prove themselves. And this is just a gut feeling. My gut feeling is that I just can't picture Danny Rowe being a regular for Ipswich. I like what I've seen of him. He's a hustle and bustle. He's small, but he's quite a physical player. He's always buzzing around looking to make things happen. He's had some mixed appearances, mostly from the bench for Ipswich, but my gut feeling is I can't picture it. And I'll go with my gut. I just can't see it.
Okay. Let us know what you think about that.
Doesn't mean that's the right thing.
No, absolutely not. Tom, any transfer news that's gone under the radar? We've already covered transfer news. Nothing.
We don't do under the radar, do we?
No, everything is very much, even if it's not necessarily the firmest of stuff we cover, don't we? Because everything has a market. The market is out there and we have to be involved in that. Tony's back on. He says, forget this. Just listening to last week's pod. Why is it taking you a week, Tony? He says, confirm not a sport. Darts, he's talking about.
He's talking about boxing.
The pin. Who's going to do the jingle?
Ross.
Ross.
Friend of the show.
Oh my God.
Right, Ross is never doing that again.
Yeah. We should have.
Number.
Take it.
Two.
Take your mic and turn it sideways and stick it where the sun don't shine. Yeah. Alistair Rattray, I'd like to apologise on behalf of all of us for that abomination that Ross just did then. The pin wants to know, I need recommendations for a good book or two to read while away, to while away the hours. Sporting autobiographies / biographies are preferred. Currently reading Roy McDonough book, Red Card Roy, which gets my thumbs up. Over to you guys. So, good books.
To my shame, I haven't read a book for quite some time.
Yeah, but you must have favourite books. Can you recommend any?
Roy
King autobiography. Yeah, biography.
I would bet that Mr. Pin has.
I'd imagine he's read that.
Has read that.
Yeah.
One person's book I read that came and I enjoyed. Didn't particularly like him as part of it, but I quite enjoyed Simon Jordan's book. Obviously, there's some quite forthright things in there that was worth a read.
Is there a whole chapter in there about his hair?
Not a whole chapter, there are some mentions. But yeah, okay. That was quite good.
Yeah, for me, my favourite book of all time is something called The Fight, which is written by Norman Mailer.
Obviously.
Which is about the famous rumble in the jungle between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. That's very much worth a read, Pin, if you've not read it. Another good one is called Richmond Unchained, which is about the first... Is this picking up on the mic, by the way? I'm currently opening a mint, a buttermint-o, I believe it is. Just seeing... Oh, Ross has just headbutted the mic. Best producer in the world. It's called Richmond Unchained, which is about the first kind of black sporting superstar in this country. It was a bare-knuckle boxer called Bill Richmond and his various... fights and life story. That's really good. I'd look that out if you can. In terms of other good books that I would recommend, sporting wise, Unbreakable. Are you familiar with that story? That's an incredible story. The geezer, Italian American, who crash landed into the sea in World War II, set a record for surviving alone on a boat, and then was a Japanese prisoner of war and treated very badly. But survived it all. It's incredible. So I'd recommend that as well. I think it's called Unbreakable. They made a film out of it. It wasn't so good. Anyway.
In goes the mint.
In goes the mint. And now I'm talking like I've got a mouthful.
Which you have.
I have. And then the pin, because he's a friend of the show, has a second bite of the cherry. He says, after watching Joshua being beaten by Ruiz, what in your opinion has been the greatest sporting upset ever? The greatest sporting upset of all times.
Of all time.
I mean, obviously, Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson was a big one. I think he was 42-1, Buster Douglas, in a two-person fight. Man City losing the FA Cup to Wigan a couple of years ago, that was quite a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't the biggest of all time.
Japan beating South Africa at the Rugby World Cup.
That's a good shout. Good. That is a great shout.
There's plenty of... Holly Holm. Yes. Ronda Rousey.
Absolutely. Great shout there, Hutchie.
MMA, haven't I?
You have gone MMA. That was a huge upset.
Yeah.
The pin also says Greece winning Euro 2004 has to be up there.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
They had no business winning that. Obviously, Leicester winning the Premier League is probably...
That's still that to me. I know that happened, but it still seems mad.
I know. It just seems like so long ago now as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. And they're making a film, aren't they? When's a film going to come out? Because I'd watch that.
When was that? Was it 2017?
2016, 2017? It was 2 seasons ago, was it?
That must be longer, that.
No, it was 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
2015.
Because Man City have won the last two titles, haven't they?
Well, and Leicester won the one before that.
Yeah, Leicester won.
Yeah, Chelsea won one as well. Yeah.
Oh, did they? Maybe it's four seasons ago.
The boy Conte. Let me look it up.
Ross, I never asked you about your favourite book.
Ozzy Osbourne's biography. That is.
Is it? What's it called?
I forgot what it's called now, but it's just crazy.
I bet
it is. The amount of stories he has on there, it's just crazy.
There you go, Pin. Get on Ozzy Osbourne.
I've just googled Leicester's Premier League win, and the first news story that comes up for it is headlined: Leicester City's 5,000-1 fairy tale Premier League triumph inspired sepsis survivors' own comeback.
Well, to be fair,
2016 season.
Oh, that's a long time ago. For me, even though it definitely happened, it still seems incredible. that Leicester ever won the Premier League. Anyway, Ollie Feingold wants to know, who do you want Town to play on the opening weekend? We were talking about this the other day, weren't we? Fixtures are out a week on Thursday. Thursday, June the 20th, 9 a.m, my birthday, if you're asking. And we were talking about this, weren't we, Hutchie, about who would be a good opening weekend for Town to play. And we were talking about a good solid League One opening. What did we decide on in the end? I can't remember.
This isn't necessarily what I would want, but I've just got a feeling that Ipswich are going to get a welcome to League One game, a home game, I think.
It'll be a home game, definitely.
I think so. I think there's a school of thought that they wouldn't schedule an Ipswich Town game on whatever weekend Mr. Sheeran is taking over this town, which is the 25th of August, 24th of August.
Yeah.
So they'd be away that day, at home the week before, away the week before that, which means they'd then be home on the opening day. And I think I've got a feeling it'll be somebody like Fleetwood. And it'd just be kind of, this is what League One is.
Joey Barton,
we're playing Fleetwood. Yeah, maybe not Fleetwood then. Maybe that's a bit too glamorous.
Wickham.
Yeah, Wickham at home or something like
Rochdale.
That.
Rochdale.
I've got a feeling it'll be something like that. I'd actually really like them to have somebody that you would think should be a tough game, because I think that would be really good for Ipswich to have a game where there's a lot on it, because I think there'll be a lot of expectation going into that game. And if
it'll be Rotherham then, won't it?
Could be, yeah, something like that. But I think that would be a good game for Ipswich to have early doors, rather than a game where everybody expects Ipswich to win, because I think the expectation level on that might prove unhelpful.
FPL Tractor wants to know, in honour of Ross, when has adding a new regular character to an existing much-loved cast gone well or badly? For me, he says bad, scrappy-do. Controversial. And well, Uncle Albert. Obviously in Only Fools and Horses. I can't think of any other examples.
That would be my choice.
Was he a late addition to Only Fools and Horses?
Yeah, because originally it was the granddad, wasn't it?
And he passed away in real life. So,
and then Uncle Albert came in.
Season 3.
Are you a big fan?
I'm a big fan.
It sounds like you are, yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd be Uncle Albert. You've got the beard, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's not the right colour, but... Yeah. Yeah.
Bit younger.
So producer Ross is our very own Uncle Albert. And therefore, that's your nickname. George Alavoine.
You haven't even answered the question.
Well, I can't think of any, can you?
Well, I can think of a bad one. And the one that springs to mind immediately is a spin-off within The Simpsons when they added Poochie to the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, and Homer was the voice of Poochie the dog.
I'm not familiar with that.
And it was horrible.
Was it?
Yeah. And it was a bad thing, and Homer got ran out of town. So basically, new things are bad.
New things are bad, apart from Ross and Uncle Albert.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
For now.
The jury's still out. George Alavine says, how serious is Judge's injury? We've already talked about that. Hopefully not too bad. Shouldn't affect him too much. Tom Lawrence says, any of you watched Good Omens? I'm loving it. Probably not enough fighting in it for MC Roundhouse, but I'd recommend it if you like Terry Pratchett. I'm not familiar at all with Good Omens.
No, nor am I.
There's too much good stuff on TV, isn't there?
There is too much TV. How is anybody supposed to watch any of it?
Yeah.
It's just too much.
I've just finished Narcos, which is brilliant. Narcos, the first two series, and there's Narcos Mexico, which is great. I recommend that. And obviously Killing Eve's back. The Handmaid's Tale is back. These are some great shows.
Good books, Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, yeah.
We studied them in my A-levels.
As did my wife. My wife has a very old copy of The Handmaid's Tale with the... You know, back in the day, you could basically write your essay in the back of the book.
Yeah.
How did you get away with that?
Yeah, but as long as it was in pencil.
Yeah.
Like, fine.
So it has pretty much a full essay in the back of it. Tom Block, would Washington be brought in for the position of a left-sided forward, akin to where Judge has been utilised, or as a striker? So Connor Washington, there's not been much on Connor Washington. We understand that Town were interested or are interested in, former Sheffield United. Would you bring him in as a left-sided forward or as a striker?
Well, he can play any of the forward roles, so I'd imagine he'd be...
Utility.
...be one of them. Yeah. Apparently, I didn't see the game. Apparently, he played quite well for Northern Ireland at the weekend.
Okay. Barney Booth, would you bring in a defensive midfield option, or are Downs and Skuse enough?
This is a tough one. My feeling is, yeah, probably would bring one in, because I quite liked what I saw of Downs in one of the more advanced, slightly more advanced midfield roles towards the end of last season. In that Leeds game, he played well in one of those. But they're so well stocked in midfield.
Mm.
If funds are limited and you're looking to improve other areas of the team, I think that would be an area where I'd just go with what I've got, rather than bringing someone in. But I think in an ideal world, you'd want somebody in there, especially as Lambert's made it clear that Skews isn't necessarily going to be playing 46 league games next year.
Mm. Roscoe, just say Skews.
Skews.
King Arthur Pickthorne wants to know, how likely is it that Evans will stump up some cash to give the stadium a scrub of paint, a scrub and a few licks of paint? Because it, let's be honest, it badly needs it.
That the cobbled side needs some love, doesn't it? I've got no idea how likely it is.
I think we've talked about this before. I think that is quite a big part of the mental approach in terms of if you're working in a kind of modern, attractive looking place. I think that probably has more of a positive impact on your psychology than something which is a bit run down and tatty. And yeah, you walk past Portman Road at the moment, it does not look good. Nigel also wants to know, as you are now celebrities, correct, if you don't get to turn on the Ipswich lights at Christmas, what other event do you want to get chosen for?
I would like to throw a bottle of champagne at a boat.
Oh, we could do that. Fred Olsen. If Fred Olsen want Andy Hutch Warren to come down and knacker a bottle of champagne against one of your cruise liners.
Well, hopefully our former colleague Ellis is listening to this, because she now works with Fred Olsen. She can make things happen.
I very much doubt that she's listening. But anyway, if that is a possibility, I'd love to see you.
I want to throw champagne at a boat.
That'd be brilliant, actually, now that I think about it. Mm. Roscoe?
Don't throw red wine.
Yeah.
Unveiling a new shop.
Opening a new shop.
Yeah, or plaque.
Yes.
Yeah, pulling the little curtains on a...
That'd be great.
You'd need to get a lesson from Prince Philip, wouldn't you? He calls himself the world's most experienced plaque unveiler.
Yeah.
Or amazing. Ribbon cutter.
Yeah, so if you can make these dreams happen for us...
Or do the blowhorn for a race.
That'd be mine. I'd want to do that.
A gun.
Yeah, gun. Yeah.
Which you probably can't do that anymore. But anyway, and then sort of you see them high-fiving runners as they go by. I reckon you'd probably get hand fatigue.
Harder than the running race.
Probably. Harvey Davis.
Ross.
Redeem yourself.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
Friend of the show.
He's holding this note so he finds out which number Harvey is.
Number.
Is he number 4 or 5?
Number 3.
Oh, I was wrong. Harvey, I do apologise. Any idea when these travel packages by the club will be released for Germany? Very tempting.
No idea. None of my business.
Move on.
But yeah, I would be tempted to maybe plan my own trip.
Yeah.
Rather than wait.
You should have a little Kings of Anglia little celebration while you're out there.
We're planning on seeing where people are. That'd We've obviously got our location and where we need to be is obviously dependent on work and other such things. But we'll be around.
Oh, imagine if you get together with a few of the friends of the show, have a few steins.
Be nice
for Ross's birthday.
Yeah,
that would be amazing. Nathan King, I know you boys have discussed the best game you've ever witnessed/been to. I want to know the worst game you've ever watched in your life. There must be a few contenders for you, Hutchie, under the Mick McCarthy era.
Burton at home.
Yeah.
In his final season. Yeah, that was awful.
Roscoe, any contenders?
Wigan at home, 2015, 0-0 draw, terrible game.
And it is obviously ingrained because you went straight to it.
I left. Really? That was the first time I ever left the game. 60th minute, I just went, this is just rubbish, and I just left.
Having a laugh today. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would
60 minute, that is early to be knocking it on the head.
It was raining as well, and I just went, I know it's bad being like a Town fan, but I just went, I just can't have any of this anymore. It's just a terrible game. People will know.
I remember actually, because my missus is a Leicester fan, so we quite often used to go and watch Leicester at Portman Road. I think it was like 2007. It was a midweek game. We came all the way across, and it was December, and it was absolutely freezing, and it was 0-0, and it was just miserable. You know, when you're sitting there and you can't really feel your face or your fingers, and there's literally
nothing
to get excited about on the pitch. That was dreadful. The one that also I remember, because I had to get up early to watch, was the 2002 World Cup, where England needed to get, I think it was a draw against Nigeria in their final group match.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I got up at 7:30 in the morning to watch it, and it was just dreadful. It was just an abysmal game. Neither side really bothered about even trying to attack. It was just the worst.
I think I watched that at school. They said, like, obviously it kicked off at whatever time, and that the second half very much would eat into education time. So they said, we'll put it on. If you come in early, it'll be on and you can watch all of it.
Yeah.
So I went in and watched it at school. Very bad.
Very, very bad.
Still better than maths, though.
Jack Slaughter, friend of the show.
Number four.
Jack, our resident chef. Name five former or present Town players or manager you'd have a dinner party with and why. So former or present players or managers that you'd have. Obviously, I'd have Bobby Robson.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think that is the correct answer.
He was fascinating when I met him. He was like the world's best granddad. Very, very interesting, and also really friendly and kind of warm. So definitely Bobby, he'd be there.
You got to have Bobby. I would have Bilal Elmojny.
Yes.
Just mix it up a bit.
He's interesting.
Something different. He's got something to say. Interesting man. I'd also have Jordan Spence there.
Yeah,
he's an interesting man.
So he could bring his wife.
Does that count? Does that eat into my five?
Oh no, I assume it's five plus partners.
Okay, yeah, I'll have Jordan.
She's
Spence.
Invited. Yeah,
yeah. Former Ipswich player Jordan Spence.
Yeah. Are we having Keno?
You know what? No.
No Keno.
No.
Controversial.
No, I don't want him there.
I'd like Shane Supple.
Yeah.
I think he'd be interesting because he walked away from the game, didn't he?
And then went back.
But I remember Keane at the time was kind of baffled that he'd walk away.
Shane has since said how helpful Roy was through all of that.
Mm.
Yeah, very bold thing to do, but pretty sensible.
So who have we got? We've got Bobby Robson. We've got Jordan Spence. Bill Elmojny.
Yep.
Is that the three we've said so far? So we need two more.
Larson Toro.
He can't speak English.
Oh, yeah, that would be a barrier. Like, that would be a barrier.
Who else could we have?
Interesting players. Or managers. Joe Royal, I bet he'd have some stories. We'd have Joe there, obviously, for Stewie.
Yeah, well, they could go off and just have a dinner for two.
Yeah.
Those two.
They'd just sit trading stories.
Oh, there's far too many to pick from, isn't there?
Tractor Boy has actually answered the question. He says, John Walk, Eric Gates, Terry Butcher, Bobby Ross and Paul Mariner.
I think you've got too much of the same.
Yeah, it's all the same era,
isn't
it?
You need to mix up the ages a little bit.
And it doesn't need to be a legend either, it just needs to be a character of...
Yeah.
Terry Butcher probably interesting.
Yeah. I kind of only want one from that. I want to mix the eras up a bit.
Yeah.
Two up. Quite like Craig Forrest to be there.
Oh, good shout.
Cancer survivor.
Yeah.
Different perspective on things.
Is he still rocking the perm as well?
I think he is to an extent. He's got a very successful TV career in Canada.
Has he? What, as a pundit?
I think he's essentially the Canadian Gary Lineker. I think he presents.
Oh. We should do something with him.
We've tried.
Oh, you've tried, okay. Jamie Trott wants to know, do you wash your legs in the shower? Obviously, last week, or the week before, was it last week, we discovered that you both have very sexy legs. Hutchie, you've got absolute boulders for calves. Ross, too, has muscular legs.
Well, he claims to have them.
And also...
They come out in Germany, you know.
That's a threat.
Great.
Yeah. Do you wash your legs in the shower? What an odd question.
Yes.
Yeah, doesn't... I mean, everyone. You wash everything in the shower.
I particularly enjoy washing the backs of my knees, actually.
The backs of your... Why? Is that like an erogenous zone?
Well... No, it's just it's a nice place to wash. I've got an injury to the back of one of my knees as well, so it needs... Regular care. Got a dent. Hollowed out bit.
We're learning more about your body again. So we've learned that you can do things with your throat this week and you've got a dent in the back of your legs.
Don't know how I did it.
Shark bite?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was playing football at primary school and I was in goal and we were using a bin two bins as the goalpost, and it was like a plastic bin that had been that had really sharp, jagged edges on it. It was broken, and I caught the back of my leg on it, and I ripped a hole in it, and it kind of hurt all day. And eventually, I ended up going to the school nurse later in the day, and she took a look, and there was a hole there, and just a lump of skin just fell out onto the floor.
Lovely.
So yeah, I've got a dent in the back of my right knee now.
Was your school nurse terrifying? Like,
she just put witch hazel on everything. Do you remember witch hazel? Does that exist? Do people use that for anything anymore?
No, no idea.
She was proper Suffolk and all.
Like Ross.
Witch hazel.
how are the levels, Ross? Because I see that when I'm talking, it quite often is going over the light. There we go. You've levelled me up. Matt Thomas, might be too late. Sorry.
Friend of the show.
Says, might be too late, but after last week's pod, thought it might be an idea, even if they're anonymous, to have a frank interview with an agent, get some insights as to the way things work. He says, more for a story rather than a question for the pod. An interview with an agent.
You would do well to convince anybody to do that.
No one's going to go on record, really, are they?
No.
Certainly not be named. And we've come to the final question of the Twitter section of Mailbag. Aaron Beale, what do you think will happen with the academy if we don't go straight back up?
Nothing.
Because obviously we've talked before about other teams shutting their academies and downgrading them and stuff, but there's no plans afoot for Town to bin
off. I don't think so. If it's just situational, if we're talking about teams that have shut them down, we're talking Brentford have done that and Huddersfield have done that, and they are in very competitive areas in terms of London, obviously, and then Yorkshire, which is full of football clubs, and it's harder for them to attract young players. But if Ipswich are still able to do that, they're the only professional club in Suffolk, just Ipswich and Norwich in the region, really. And I don't think that would impact anything. If anything, they'd lean on it more, I would have thought.
We have a question via email from Patrick Durham. And Patrick, you sent in a couple of questions, and I keep forgetting to bring them in. But you're going to get them answered now, my friend. His first question was, he says, loving the podcast. Correct. He says, anyway, my question, this is his first question, hypothetical situation, last game of the season at home to Leeds. Ipswich beat Leeds and stay up, but the win gives Norwich the title. Or do you want Ipswich to lose and get relegated, but defeat drops Norwich to third? Which would you prefer?
When was this question asked?
This was 23rd of May. I keep forgetting to print it out. Anyway, he wants to know. So, essentially, would you rather Ipswich win and stay up, but Norwich win the title? Or would you rather them lose if it means that Norwich get dropped to third? I mean, for me, the obvious answer is you want Ipswich to win and stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you would have to be quite twisted to be happy for your team to be relegated.
Just
to stop a rival. I think that would be a bit of a Norwich obsession there.
Absolutely. And then he's asked a follow-up question because he says, we're talking about, obviously, Cage Warriors last week, and he says he actually knows one of the guys who fights for Cage Warriors. Anyway, he says, keeping the cage fighter theme, name two Town players, ex and current, who you think you could beat in the cage and one he would definitely not want to face. Who do you think you could beat in the cage?
J Tab.
I think he's a rugby player.
Well,
a jockey now.
Yeah, and jockeys are hard.
I reckon he could turn his hand to anything. Yeah. He seems like that kind of guy. Who wouldn't I want to face?
Well, Toto, obviously, we've talked about.
I'll tell you who I really wouldn't have wanted to face. David Unsworth.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon he could lose it.
Is he tough?
Yeah.
Could he go?
I reckon.
We've said before, Bill Almozny is someone you probably wouldn't want to face.
Yeah, because he owns samurai swords and he'd bring them in.
And he's like 6'5".
Yeah.
And a bit of a nutter. Who could you beat?
I'm more of a lover than a fighter.
Yeah, that's not what your wife says.
Interesting. who could I beat in a cage? Not very many.
Two men stripped to the waist. Hutchie's one of them. Across the cage.
Do I have to be stripped? Can I wear a vest?
Well, no, not really.
Oh. I reckon I could beat... I don't know who I could beat. I can't beat anyone in a fight, come on.
Even with your massive calves?
Yeah, I suppose I would be more of a kicker than a than a puncher.
Than a puncher. Ross, you already declared yourself able to win cage fights after going to one event. Who would you like to take on?
Kevin Brew.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
Kevin Brew.
Yeah.
And who would you definitely not want to fight?
Anybody taller than me. Mostly every.
That's quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Patrick, there are your questions answered. I hope that's done the job for you. Thanks very much for getting in touch via email. I appreciate that, because obviously it takes a bit more time than rather just write out a tweet. And we appreciate everyone who listens to us. And he also says he's left a 5-star iTunes review, which is great. Before we go, I just want to mention the new Kings of Anglia magazine. Obviously, we are the Kings of Anglia podcast. But the Kings of Anglia magazine is out on the streets. Issue 11. Looks very good. There's a lovely picture of the boy Teddy on the front. He's our feature interview this episode. I've been doing this too long. This issue. There's also interviews with Luciano Civelli. Hutchie, I believe you wrote that.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. I did. By the magazine, it's good.
What was he like? Well, interesting.
Lovely man. Yeah. Very nice. Did it over Skype.
Yeah. He had a sad end to his career at Town, didn't he? Because he had so much promise.
Yeah, sad end to that injury pretty much ended up ending his career.
Yeah. And there's also other features. Diary of a Tractor Girl with Amy Downs. A look at the Town bosses from the early years. The vlogger, who I believe... Who's the vlogger?
I've got no idea who the vlogger is.
Non-league guy, I think.
Non-league guy. Let me find out. The vlogger, James Starling. There you go. So a bit with James Starling in there. A look at the Town League One tour next season and how that's going to be amazing. And there's also, controversially, Portman Pete in there still.
Need some opinions on that.
If you get the Kings of Anglia, and you should because it's a bargain, turn to the inside back page. You'll see a guy called Portman Pete. And just let us know what you think about what Portman Pete says or writes, because there's quite a few of us on the sports desk that are concerned about Portman Pete and his value as a page.
Value as a human being.
As a human being, yeah. And let us know if you understand what he's talking about as well, because frankly none of us do. Anyway, so that's out on the streets now. It is £3.99. It's the best Ipswich Town magazine you could possibly get. I'm just trying to see how many pages it is. 106 pages of quality.
Quizzes.
Yeah. Everything you need and more. So get your hands on that. Boys, how long will we be going for, Ross?
1 hour and 7 minutes.
1 hour, 7 minutes. That's a good time to take our leave. We're approaching our deadline anyway. Just check there's been no more questions. There is. Radders, chances of getting Daryl Murphy back on loan?
No.
No, there you go, Radders. That's your answer. Thanks very much for listening this week. Obviously, it's been all the poorer for the lack of having the doctor with us. I'm not sure what we're going to do next week because both me and the doctor are away. So there's not going to be one on Monday unless you bring in the big porker himself. Which is probably not.
No.
You could certainly do one on fixtures day, like a mini podcast.
We could do.
Yeah, but I don't think it will be in this studio because you'll be busy, busy boys that day. Mm. So watch that space. It might be an extended period without a podcast now, so hopefully you've got other things to keep you going. If you have enjoyed our chat today, I feel like it's been a bit of a low-energy one today.
There's nothing. I think we've tried to talk about football too much.
Yeah.
When there's not much to say.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
We'll do an extra time one soon.
We'll do a good one, honestly. But anyway, subscribe via your various podcast providers. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. And I've got a shout out as well before we go. The guy who left us a. Great. Here we go. We got another review, 5 stars. It says, these guys have made a very painful season almost bearable. Dr. Steve, Hutch Hogan, and the other one. I assume he's talking about Ross. Really gel well together, and the comedy flows very naturally. And then he says, finally, yes, Mark, I know you're the other one, really, but couldn't resist it and hoped it might get Stu and Andy to laugh enough to get me a mention on air. So there you go. You have been mentioned, Mr. Blue Soap, if that is your real name.
We definitely laughed. We read that in the office last week, and it made me laugh.
Yes, you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Another bucket list item will be ticked, and my journey to becoming a friend of the show would have begun. You've not lobbed out any friend of the shows this week, Andy.
Because I don't lob them out. It's not a lob. It's not a lob situation.
Very charitable. And someone called George Burley's pal has also left a 5-star review, which just says Hulk Hogan is the man.
Oh, excellent.
So that's your mum, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, do leave us a 5-star review if it's good. I don't mind being called the other one, as long as we get a 5-star review, because I am the other one. I'm the guy who just talks while the other boys bring their knowledge to the equation and Ross hits the knobs, so to speak. Yes, that's it for this week. Any other business, boys?
No other business.
Roscoe?
No other business.
Play that track. We'll see you next week. Or not.